Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here tonight to recap tonight's eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 10. And with me tonight to talk through the episode, I've got Puya with me. How are you doing, Puya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. Listen, the episode was kind of lackluster, but if the guest we have tonight is any proof, this podcast is going to be anything but, so I'm excited.
Yes, we've got another bad boy here.
I'm a bad boy.
With us to talk through the Big Brother Canada 10 eviction. It's Anthony Douglas. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm good, big dog. It's good to see you, man. Good to be back.
Yes, very, very, very happy to be talking with you, Anthony. Very excited to get your thoughts. We were going to have you on when you were frozen in the door. But it wasn't to be, tonight is to be, we're gonna get your thoughts on the season, and, we're gonna talk about this eviction. We lost Moose.
Where's Moose?
He's in the jury house. That's,
oh.
Oh. Oh man. No more Moose. Anthony, how'd you feel about Moose?
I mean, I liked Moose. I think for this entire game, he's kind of been, you know, focused, right? Like his campaigning has been good. I feel like, you know, his relationships for the most part have been good as well. It was really sad to see him go. I would have liked to see him maybe work a little bit harder on his campaigns and lock those votes in. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Not for me. Yeah. But like, I get it for him.
You can't relate, but you get it.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got the whole cookie every time. No crumbles for you. Yes, this is the end for Moose. I thought it was a great exit from Moose. Great attitude. He was a class act all the way through. It was not to be here for Moose. Ever since, we did hear, we heard a lot about his campaign, that a lot of people were impressed about his campaign in the house this week. I think we heard this clip tonight.
Oh my gosh. What Moose is doing, this is an award-winning performance.
Oh wait, that might have been from earlier,
heard that this
actually.
Week? Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a minute.
I mean, for me, it's like, there's a difference between delivering a good campaign and making something sound nice. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between that and making people believe it, right? Yeah. And make people go with it and actually change their minds. I think he was just sweet. He brought a lot of good points up, but I don't think that it was enough to really sway people.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day here, this narrative that Moose was a much better campaigner, it certainly was true to some extent. He actually was breaking through to a lot of different people. We saw him break through to Betty. He also broke through to Helena at one point. And it really was Kevin who was there at every turn to shut it down, primarily because of what we first saw in this episode, which is Moose pitching to Josh saying, hey, I think I've got Jace's vote. He didn't even know if he had Jace's vote, but he felt like he did. And he was pitching that they should work with the showmans. That was a no-go for Kevin. And so when Moose pitched to Kevin, like, hey, I'm willing to go against the showmans, Kevin already knew from Josh, because as we all know, Josh spills the tea to Kevin. That Moose was pitching something else to Josh. And so Kevin was able to get in there with everybody that Moose was able to flip and be like, nah, I can't believe him. He's saying different stories to different people. Just like that, the Moose is no more. What are you going to do? How have you been liking the season, though, Anthony? It's been an interesting one.
It's definitely been interesting. Like I'm, you know, obviously you guys know I only started watching Big Brother Canada just a few years ago. But I'm very much into gameplay. Like I like to see people really manipulate situations, really fend for themselves. And I feel like, you know, there's been some of that, this season. I'm loving Kevin. I feel like he is locked in a different realm. I feel like he pulled some Heath Ledger. I feel like production sat him in a hotel room and said, watch Anthony Douglas's clip. Until you watch all these highlights, he sat in a dark room with a TV in front of him and just learned how to finesse. And honestly, I think he's doing a great job. You know, I each week I'm wondering, when is it going to catch up to him, right? When are people going to finally start seeing like what he's kind of doing? And I feel like his look, the way he acts, like you saw on the couch, he was cuddling right in between with Gino and JC. Like, you know what I mean? He's just playing the right cards at the right time. I'm loving the way he's playing. And I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Can you tell us about the being frozen in the door experience? What was it like being able to have them watch you, but you watch them? And how difficult was it to maintain the posture? Yeah.
I mean, well, that whole segment honestly took an entire day to shoot.
Yeah.
Obviously you guys saw that my beard was, you know, once again, chiseled by the gods. I wasn't sure why I didn't get enough, or more, TV time, but you know, that's just the way the cookie goes sometimes. But, being in that glass and seeing them, honestly, they're a lot smaller than I would have thought. Like I wasn't on a platform or like standing on some sort of elevated surface. I was just standing there and everybody was just like way underneath me. I feel like this season, everyone's super small, but you know, it was good to see. I know that there's a few people who hadn't seen the show before. So I wasn't sure if everybody was going to know me, but it was a good reaction from everybody. I was actually myself wondering, what are they going to use with this, right? Like, you're going to ask them what was the color of Anthony's do-rag? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many chains was he wearing? Like, but I knew it probably had something to do with just the balls. Maybe it was just one or two questions. But yeah, it was a good experience to get called back. You know, I got called back 2 years ago, then, you know, this season again. So yeah, it was just good opportunity to stay involved with the culture, give back to the community. And I had a good time doing it, man.
You looked great.
Appreciate it. I told
killing
you,
it.
And we talked, I told you I'm in the gym.
Yes, man.
I told you this. Yeah. I told you, bro, I was depressed. I was unhappy. I didn't like the way that I looked. And now, you know, I'm walking around looking like RoboCop and there's still more work to be done.
Let's go.
You know, so I'm happy I was looking good and swole and everything. Got a lot of compliments from that. So, you know.
Yeah. Still got more work. Do you hear the summer compliments?
My heart said false, but my body said true. Yeah.
There was a few other reactions that I thought were going to be shown, but they never ended up showing. There were some comments that were being made.
Oh boy,
interesting.
But it was definitely a good time, man. I was happy to be there.
Yeah, I felt for Godfrey because like the position he had to be in was like
very uncomfortable. Like I had to flex.
Yeah.
Oh, I stand in front of the mirror, do that all the time anyways. But for me, it was just, I just had to stand in this room with a guy over my shoulder with a camera, just flexing for like 15, 20 minutes. which was fine. But yeah, Godfrey is a whole other ball game. Even when they like showed his segment, like you can even tell he was struggling, like on like, you know. But yeah, it was good to hang out with them and we had a lot of fun that day.
I feel like flexing should be an endurance comp, just constantly, like who can flex the longest.
Yeah, like that's what they should have put on my season. You know,
we should all just flex through the whole podcast, like the whole time.
Listen, I'll be out first. I'll be the first to admit it. Okay, I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm interested to see who wins.
As though anybody here could outflex the poutine poppy. Anthony, we did get Herman also had a nickname for himself.
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
As the resident poutine poppy, what would you grade Stir the Pot Poppy?
I mean, I was sad to see him go. It bothered me. It had to be done, but I was sad to see him go. But I like the name. I liked his little segment his little jury house segment. You could tell he's having fun there. I don't know how much fun I would be having as first in jury, but he a lot of these guys have been using a lot of little poppy, loyal to the soil, that kind of stuff. So I'm happy that all these guys are now studying the game tapes, you know?
Yes. We got a new one from Betty this episode. She's previously known as Business B.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Now known as Petty Betty.
Petty Betty loves a good show.
Petty Betty loves a good show. I think that's also what she said after watching you in the door.
Yeah.
Petty Betty loves a good show.
I'm liking Betty too, honestly. I feel like this is going to be one of those seasons where, well, obviously, if these guys wake up and realize that the showmance has to go, I think this is going to be one of those things where it goes down to the wire. And whoever wins those last few competitions is going to have a good enough speech to deliver to the jury. Very similar to what happened last year.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And big story of the night, of course, is not only is there a triple eviction next week, which, whatever. We also have another safety vote this week. This safety vote coming in at the final eight, a fan vote for safety right before a triple eviction. Jeez. Isn't that wonderful?
No.
What? It's so good. No, we love twists.
Stop, please.
I don't know what's happening. You would assume Marty's going to be safe from this twist, but Marty is actually ineligible to receive the safety, which, like, on one hand, who cares? But on the other hand, like, as a general rule, it's a terrible rule. Like, it maybe works out this time, but, like, in any other situation, if it was a genuine fan favorite that, like, everybody actually cared about, and granted, of course, Marty is, I guess, technically a genuine fan favorite, considering the fact that he probably would win this vote if he wasn't ineligible. I mean, they're screwing over the fan favorite by having him be voted to have safety in week three when he didn't need it.
Yeah, he was fine.
Nobody was told that he would then be screwed over in week eight or whatever.
Yeah.
When, like, now there's eight people, one of them is going to win HOH, so they're going to be safe. And then another person is also going to be safe. Potentially, like, one of the few other people that could be targeted this week. I can tell you, I've been looking at the Facebook. Puya gave me the link. We've been checking it. And the majority of the comments so far, where's Marty? How come I can't vote Marty? What's up with where's Marty? The second most comments I've seen, Gino. We got to vote for Gino.
I don't get it, man.
Yeah, it's a great question we're all asking ourselves as well. I mean, this is the thing with Marty, right? He got lucky breaks quite a few times, including this past week when the secret veto doesn't get used to put him up, right? So this is the invoice of that. Now you got to be in danger. Can you save yourself? We'll see. It's interesting to me that Gino is getting the top billing on the votes. Now, I don't feel like the episodes really, I guess he just, like, he was the HOE, so obviously there was a lot of spotlight on him, but I don't necessarily think he's been getting, like, a very fun, good, like, nice edit to, like, give him that.
It's the necktie. He's good looking, right? he's a good looking guy. He's got the necktie. He's got, you know, the little thing on his hand too. Plus, he's in a showmance. And, you know, there's a huge demographic that actually likes showmances. You know, I unfortunately, I'm not part of it. but, like, there's a huge, like, there are a lot of people that are, like, loving seeing them together. And granted, it's cute, right? Right? It's kind of cute, but it's, like, I personally don't get it. Like, is that who the majority wants to win this season? Right?
Well, I mean, we can't forget a very important fact about Gino.
I'm definitely a lover boy.
he's a lover boy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a lover boy. Comment from Facebook. Vote Gino. The other people have floated by in the game while he has worked his hardest to make it to where he is. Vote Chino. He's in the most danger this week. Yeah. Now, I will say the second most that I've seen, the only other contender here on Facebook seems to be Kevin. That there is some Kevin support. There's a vote Kevin comment that has a decent amount of reactions, and then another vote Twitter's voting Kevin, which I don't know what Twitter you're looking at, but some people are saying to vote for Kevin. I could maybe see Kevin getting something here. I do think he has been good in the episodes, but he's kind of been absent from at least this. Like, he wasn't very present in this episode, which is like, you know, the audience is very much like, what have you done for me lately? I am concerned here that this is genuinely the week that Gino should be leaving. It's pretty much anybody other than Jace is targeting Gino right now, or will put Gino on the block, and then he would probably go home. If he wins safety from this, we then have a triple eviction. He just needs to win one of the two competitions there. And all of a sudden, Gino is in the final five and just a couple of comps away from being the Big Brother Canada 10 winner, which is, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, man, like for me, I couldn't understand from the beginning. You guys know how I am with showmances. I don't know how it's not making these people sick, right? You know that these people are intertwined. They're sleeping. They're showering. I don't know if they're showering together, but they're with each other 24/7. And you guys are just joking around with them like it's a good thing to have them on your side. It's time to break them up. Like, do you guys not realize the power in that? They're both decent at comps, right? And that's two votes no matter what. They're not going to go against each other. I was baffled when Marty didn't go home. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is this miscommunication? If I was JC, Marty's gone. you put that kind of power in my hands, it's a no-brainer. I wouldn't even have to have this conversation with Gino. We wouldn't even have to talk. Don't worry, leave it in my hands. I'll take the garbage out.
Well, this is like if Adam didn't use his secret assassin power to screw you over.
Fuck, man. But like, I just I'm trying to put myself in the house to understand the dynamic, because, you know, it's tough to see for the outside. Like, there were players in the house on my season that were they seemed very powerful. Like, you just didn't know too much about them, but you just knew that everyone liked them, right? Like, those are very like dangerous players. But like Marty, like, I don't see him as this huge social powerhouse that just like can't be stopped. It's like get him out of here. He's capable of winning. He's been winning. He's gonna keep winning. And you're just gonna let him win right to the end? Like, I don't get it, man. But what do I know?
I think a lot. I think you probably know a bit more than Gino. How many hours in a day, Anthony?
25, was it?
25 hours per day, and there's 4 day per 100 hour.
Gotta love
that.
It.
Good. He squished out an extra hour in a regular day. None of us, everyone else is living on 24. He's on 25.
Yeah. And to be fair, this is not, you know, Moose was like, hey, he's got a math problem. This isn't a math problem.
No.
You know, his math is right. You know, if there were 25 hours in a day, there would be 100 hours in 4 days. It's not wrong. I mean, it's wrong, but it's not that wrong.
He's a lover boy. You can't have it all, man.
Yeah. I'm definitely a lover boy.
Oh man. He can definitely tell when people are lying. Cause when Jace let him know that she had the power.
He's such a liar.
Just like when Jace said to Kyle,
you really suck at lying.
Man, two peas in a pod here.
You're such a liar.
You really suck at lying.
You're such a liar.
Watch JC's face as she was saying that to him. I don't know how he just didn't pick up on it. Like, I really just don't get it. Like, but hey, man.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time on like who do we think had the power that's not doing anything, and like the power that's wasted, that hasn't been used and can't be used anymore.
Yeah.
Who do we think had it? Was it Marty? Was it Betty? Was it Kevin? Oh man, who knows? Oh, no, it was Jace. You liar. No, it really was me. Oh, really? Well, that just makes me like you even more. Cause I'm a lover boy.
I'm definitely a lover boy.
Aw.
Jeez.
She can't keep that, right? She doesn't get to keep the veto. God. I mean, be a good souvenir, but I don't think she can. So
no.
Sad.
Did Allison get to keep the butt veto?
I mean, she used it, so technically it wasn't hers anymore, right? Yeah, like it was used. I guess so.
Yeah, it's butt veto definitely still greater than, I don't know, whatever this veto was.
The invisible veto? Yeah, I would say so.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
This episode was a little all over the place. I do feel like we got some good stuff, and then some of it was, again, I feel like anything that had to do with the power was kind of just like, felt like wasted space. But we did get some drama, some Summer and Jace drama. Summer, she says, look, you know, she said, look.
My heart said false, but my body said true.
What am I supposed to do? I appreciate all of God's creatures.
I always have to relate it back to my season. But the second I saw this little triangle thing going on between Sam, Adam, and her flirting with Mark, I was all over that. I was all over that. Why? Like, if I was Moose on the block, I'm sending Summer after Gino. Like, I'm creating, that would have been my move. I would have dug up. I would have done everything I could. I would have came up with a plan, and the plan would have been to get Summer to go full throttle on Gino. That's a wedge between them. That's a disconnect with their entire alliance, whoever they're working with. It's like, I don't, these people are just like joking around, having tea and playing pool. It's like, it's time to make moves. The game is, there's not that many days left.
Yeah, just get in there. Like, hey, you know what Gino told me the other day? He said he was a lover boy, and I don't know. I feel like he was looking at you when he said it. I'm not saying anything. I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know the info.
Yeah,
here. Yeah,
but moves had to be made. I would have had a little bit of a different angle than Moose. Which I would have loved to be able to, well, not really, because I would obviously wouldn't want to be on the block, but I would have loved the opportunity to campaign. I feel like that would have been one of my strongest suits in the game. But yeah, for that whole dynamic to happen, and clearly how uncomfortable she is. I mean, she's been uncomfortable, right? She's been noticing little things. That little segment wasn't like the first time that something like that has happened. She's been peeping Gino, this little Gino and Summer thing, and she's super jealous. She tried to play it off and giggle herself, whatever, but that does something to her, and I would have exploited that.
How's this for a twist? Kind of like when Dan went into the house in season one, but slightly different. So, like, let's say Let's say each house guest gets like some lifelines, like in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. One of the lifelines is the tag team lifeline. They get to pick any player in the history of the show to come in, take their place to campaign for this. So like Moose this week, tag team out. Anthony, sub in for me. You go in there as Moose. You're like, hey, it's Moose. I'm here.
Moose stays unanimously.
They go,
where's Moose?
I'm right here.
Moose would stay unanimously if I could have tagged in for him. There was so many other angles. And like one thing I wasn't really understanding is his campaign was very similar with everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to kind of break up what you're pitching to people individually and really break down their game as much as you know, right? Whoever you see them hanging out with, whoever you see, make up what you got to make up and just give them something that they would kind of have to keep to themselves. Everybody went around saying, oh, Moose is saying that, like, you know, he's going to go after this. Like, it was all the same, right? Like, it's like, I just feel like if he switched up a little bit, made it a little bit more believable. Instead of just like, you know, I'm going to go after these people that put me on the block. Well, duh, like I, you know, but what does that, what does this really do for me? Right. Like, why is that better for me than Summer? Mm-hmm. Literally is taking this as a joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Moose was making, you know, Moose comes in and Rissa alludes to this, that she was like, they thought you were a super fan, man. He really wasn't. He only watched season 6 and that was only because he knew Erica. When he got on the show, he was like, all right, I guess I should watch more of this show. Let's watch another season. And when he was choosing the season, he was like, you know what? I'll just watch season 6 again. That was a good one.
Pick up all the strategy from the same season twice. That works. Yeah.
So he didn't know the show very well, and unfortunately, unlike Anthony here, wasn't able to sort of like intuit the nuance of like the best ways to go about these kinds of conversations. I do think that he has like some promise. He is a good talker. When put in certain situations, he is able to talk his way out of it, but there's just too much there where like he just doesn't know that, like, you know, when he is campaigning to like making a similar pitch to everybody, but changing up like the targets of like, okay, I'm targeting this person to this person and this person to this person. Like he's going to get in trouble because some of them are going to be talking. Like there's something happening behind the scenes. There always is. Yeah. There's always connections that you can't see and you always have to be careful and really like misunderstanding where the power lies in the game, thinking that it matters most to stay in the good graces of the showmans because they're in power right now as the HOH, not realizing that the true power in the house right now is Kevin and Helena, and not tailoring his pitch to them when they're the ones that ultimately control the vote. He didn't even recognize that. And so what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think that combined with, you know, look at the matchup, right? So his matchup was against Summer, who definitely did a whole lot more passive. A lot more, I'm not going to necessarily put down any promises. I'm not going to necessarily, you know, say exactly what I'm going to do. And typically I would say that is not great. Cause if no one knows where your mind is, that means your mind might be on me and I don't like that. But I think that combined with Moose doing maybe too much and, you know, relaying so much information that the only way this works is if no one talks to each other. And unfortunately for you, people are talking. I feel like combine the two things and that's why he got a bad, bad hand this week for what was going to happen for him.
Yeah. We did get some good Josh content in this episode. I'm always happy to see when Josh gets excited. He walks out into the backyard and goes,
oh, what? I loved it.
Yeah.
That was the collective reaction of the RHAP audience when this podcast started and they saw Anthony Douglas sitting here. They went,
oh yeah.
What?
I love you guys, man. No, but honestly, that's the kind of vibe it is. Like, and they were on slop, right? Mm-hmm. So to like be able to jump from that and like it's an unreal feeling. I know a lot of people, like a lot of people ask me, what's slop like? Like, is it really that bad? It doesn't seem that bad. It's horrible. It is horrible. It breaks you down mentally and physically, especially if you eat a lot like myself. So for them to just go from that to like basically being safe, knowing that they're safe and also getting to hang out in nice weather in a party, it's euphoric. it's a totally different vibe.
Yeah. And, you know, with only 25 hours in a day, it's like, it's nice to be able to use some of those hours to just kick back, kick your feet up.
You know? Oh, yeah. real quick, Taryn. So we briefly touched on the triangle segment with Summer, and that was from last week. I was like, yeah. Am I losing my mind? I'm sure this was last week. I'm sure Herman was there. It was very interesting because you've talked about this ad nauseum. That
they edited him out of it, didn't they?
They did.
He was sitting right there.
He was the one egging on. He was doing a lot of the egging on that they mentioned, but they didn't show him.
Something was off. I was like, I swear that it was more crowded when this was happening. They stayed full on, what was it?
Him out.
That was what they did to Paulie and Aaron, right? In the various, was it Aaron or was it somebody else? I don't remember. Was it Helen that they rotoscoped out
of
when they drank the hair wash or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yes. What a reference.
It would have been if I could have remembered who it was.
Yeah, they play around. At the end of the day, it's the same thing they tell you when right before you're about to walk in the house. You know, when you come out, you know, just understand we're trying to make a TV show. Things might not be edited the way you remember them. Mm-hmm. But we are here to make a TV show. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. We are here to make a TV show. So you just go with it. Like there was even tons of things, like even on my scene afterwards, I'm just like, that happened. That's not when that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's not, this is not the way it went down.
Mm. But
that's the way it goes.
This season has been pretty good about accurately portraying what went down. And honestly, like in this case, like I'm fine with them holding on to this content because they had plenty of strategic content last week. Like, yeah. I don't think they needed this. It wasn't super relevant at the time. They clearly didn't have a lot of content this week. And so to pull out some drama, I felt like, yeah, I'm good with this. Like, this is fine. Jace, she's going to uninvolve herself. Have you ever heard this?
She didn't mean it, but she meant it.
Yeah.
She didn't mean it, but she meant
it. Has anyone ever said this to you, Anthony? Like, I'm going to uninvolve myself.
No. No, that doesn't happen to me. But I'm so excited to see this triple, man. I am so excited to see what happens. I feel like it's not going to be the way we think it's going to be.
Yeah. How you feeling? Where's it going to go?
I think somebody real big is going, man. I think somebody real big is going. It's not going to be like the past couple ones where, you know, you kind of knew who was going to go. I feel like Marty or Gino is going 100%. I'm not going to say 100%, but I feel like one somebody's going to make a big move. I feel like they're all dying to make a big move. And now after this, like, hopefully they're going to start like looking around and being like, wow, okay, well, you know, I've got to start swinging in this direction or like these people are just going to trample over me. Right. Mm-hmm. There's gotta be adjustments after every eviction, every single day there's adjustments. Right.
Yeah. So
hopefully at this point right now where they are, they're starting to realize who could very well win this game. And maybe it's time to get them out before you just waste all your time here.
Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if by the end of the triple, we haven't lost two of Marty, Gino, and Josh. I think that those are the three that are going to be looked at in both this week and in the middle of the, you know, the triple. I think those are the ones that are going to be, I mean, obviously the Canada saves twist might impact that a little bit here, but yeah. But I think that we will, you know, if Josh survives the triple, that would be big for him, but I think it might be a tough one. I think Gino, even if he survives this week, will probably have to win a competition, or Jace will have to win a competition to make sure that he's safe. that he's safe in the triple. And then Marty as well, I think is going to be, you know, it's difficult to keep your person safe in that situation. And all three of them are big targets. All three of them will likely be hitting the block. And I think we're going to see a massacre here.
Yeah. And I like that. I like that this year, the comps are designed for a certain demographic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? I feel like they've set the comps up so that anybody could potentially win. And I feel like that's what makes the season so much more interesting.
Definitely.
Like on my season, it was all basically competitions that were like for physical small people. Mm-hmm. Right. And now with like these, like this little tooth game with the puzzle, like even that mountain climb one, do we know who won the,
not yet.
We don't know yet. Feeds have not come back. Don't know when they will.
This account to find out. I'm joking, but yeah, no, it's gonna be I feel like it's gonna be pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going, the season's gonna get better.
Yeah, well let's talk about this HOH competition, because we have seen something similar to this before in season 8. That this is the second straight HOH that Sheldon won in season 8. And it came down to Sheldon and Chris. If you don't remember that season, they were the two biggest guys on the cast by a pretty large margin. In my memory at least, it came down to the two of them at the end of the competition. I think that one had a bar that they were holding on to, though, so that may be a significant enough difference here. Mm-hmm. With the pegs and having to sort of position your body. In fact, I think it will likely be a significant change here in terms of what we're seeing, as you know, being able to hold the bar, you're able to use your muscles, your bigger muscles, I think, a lot more. Whereas, like, you know, trying to position your body in a certain way to hold yourself up, a little bit different. Sure. I am seeing here on Twitter, you know, take it with a grain of salt because it's on Twitter, Feeds will return in the morning. So we will likely not know who won until the morning.
All right. Sounds good, Taryn. Another Friday morning update with nothing offered. Love that for me. That's great. Okay. Cool. Cool. All right.
I think we can say with decent confidence that Kevin is not going to win this one, considering he looked like he wanted to die about five
Struggle
seconds
City.
In.
Struggle they City.
Edited Summer in there, though. They showed her two or three times, like very effortlessly hanging. Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking at some photos. So Kevin is like this, with his head like, like not having a good time. Both Jason Summer with a similar strategy, leaning to one side, hands like this on the mm-hmm. pegs. Summer has kind of like a little bit of a struggle face. Jace is kind of like just positioned, but they're both positioned in that spot. And then Josh is, he's positioned the same, similar sort of position, just in the opposite direction, which actually is a good thing because the water seems to be coming out on the side that that Jace and Summer are. Helena is also attempting a similar strategy, but she's a little more, it looks like, I don't know, it's pretty similar to what Summer has going on. Josh is a little more angled, so it'll be interesting to see which strategy is going to do well here. I can't. It's hard to figure out like what's really going to work most. You know, is Josh's height going to be an advantage because he has less? You know, he has more sort of like leverage to like wedge himself in, or is it going to be worse because he's not able to get the angles he needs to hold himself up? I don't know, but I have to assume that the top contenders here will be Jace as somebody who is small, physical, not a lot of weight to hold up. She's, I think, going to be a top contender. I think Josh should be able to do well here, but maybe his height would be in height and weight might be a disadvantage. Not sure. Summer could definitely be in contention. And you never really know with Marty. You know, he is a 43-year-old that you never, with a bad knee that you shouldn't backdoor. But he did win the previous sort of endurance competition, the surfboard or the
surfboard,
whatever it was. Yeah. So never count Marty out, but those would be my top four picks myself. But yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah. Me personally, when I was watching that, I don't know why, just Summer looked good, man. She just, the way she was positioned, the little effortless when they showed the water going on her, she didn't even care. I feel like she did well in that one.
Yeah.
But I guess we're just going to have to see.
We'll have to see. It's interesting because I do think, you know, some of it comes down to how much pain is your body going to go through. Some of it's going to be how much can you tolerate cold water running down on you? Because I do feel like that is going to be a big impact here. As far as, Taryn, you mentioned whether being tall or not helps. I'm trying to think of it. And like, you know, this is kind of like the 127-hour challenge. So I feel like if your legs can bend and you have more room to maybe stretch out here and there, but keep them bent, I feel like that helps. Whereas if you're like the perfect height for it, it might be difficult because your legs constantly have to be stretched to connect your like left side to the right side. So I do think I would probably give the edge to Josh here. But again, I think the water comes into account. I think ultimately after like, let's say an hour up there, does your body get too sore? Is your knee going to hurt? Is your, you know, is the arm strength going to be kicking in? Are you going to have a tough time? I think the one thing I feel confident saying is I would be willing to put some money down that Kevin's the first out. He was struggle city when they showed him and he had his two hands on the pegs, but then his legs were like a little toddler, just like hanging off. I was like, yeah, this guy's gone. This guy's gone before we go to commercial to end the night.
Yeah, he was not looking good, man. He was not good.
Yeah, looking again at Josh, like I do feel like he's got like a fully bent knee. And I do feel like that's going to be an advantage because he's going to be able to use more of like, because I think you can change from that bent knee. You can go like, he can adjust his angle to get a little more of a straight leg if he needs to. He can also drop that bottom leg down to be more straight if he needs to. But just the way that he's propped up, I think he's using less strength to hold himself up and more just of like the angles themselves. Whereas looking at like Summer, Jace and Helena, they're all using that one straight leg pretty heavily. So maybe it will be Josh. Maybe that'll be the win here. Who knows? This is the overanalyzing portion of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Who's Josh putting up?
He will likely be targeting either Gino or Marty. He's mentioned a few different, you know, potential nominations. But I think the intention would be to either send out Marty or Gino. I think Kevin and Helena would love for it to be Gino. If Gino was safe, then I think it would definitely go to Marty, but then they would try to help. They would try to work Marty. If Helena and Kevin are able to push him off of Marty still, they might try and push him onto Jace if Gino is safe. But they also have wanted to keep Jace around. It's kind of a tricky spot here. I could see him doing something like Summer and Marty with a potential Gino backdoor if all of his options are available to him. Cause I don't think he wants to put up, Kevin. Certainly doesn't want to put up Kevin. He could put up Helena. That was an option that he talked about, but, I don't think that would actually go through. I think he would want to avoid putting up Gino and Jace. Until he knows the shot is going to land. Yeah. Because he's technically has a Final Four deal with them right now. And so if he's going to take the shot, he wants to make sure it lands. So I think he'll probably keep them off the block initially, unless he goes full on, make a deal with Marty. I'm going to put both of them up. One of them definitely goes, but I feel like he's going to want to play it a little safer than that. So I don't know. We'll see. Interesting stuff. We also have to consider the fact that there is a moose curse to talk about.
The moose curse is upon you.
Here we go again. Plague.
Step aside, Mackie Plague. There's a new curse in town. Name is Moose.
The moose curse, they've talked about this in the house. The moose curse is that every HOH that has put Moose on the block went home the following week. So you don't put Moose on the block or you go home the following week. So this time Moose left. He didn't survive, but the moose curse
is upon you.
Is still upon Gino, and we'll see if he's able to survive it. I don't know.
Either Bel Air Direct gives him the curse breaker, or I could see him having to win the veto himself to get out of it. But we'll see.
Yes. Okay. So one thing that I was kind of upset about, we did not get goodbye messages for Moose. I see that they are up on the website right now, but I haven't had a chance to watch them. I would love if anybody in the chat has the ability to watch the goodbye messages and report back. If there's anything interesting in there, which there might not be. Obviously, I think the main thing we're looking for is specifically like Kevin, Helena, and Josh, as they have the most to reveal to Moose about their games, what kind of message they're going to get across to him. That would be potentially interesting. I did get this clip from Arissa as she was talking to Helena.
Stop, please.
No.
I also got this one is actually my favorite of the night. This was after Arissa finishes interviewing Moose. She does the sign off. After the sign off, before the music kicks in to go to commercial, we get this from them.
If you had not given us the backstory, I couldn't tell you who that is. Like, is that from Big Brother?
Yeah. Like, damn.
Sorry. No, that's similar to last night. I had another tab open, actually. Sorry about that.
Oh my God, Darren. Oh God. What? Can't unhear that.
Hey man, last name Armstrong, baby. Like,
yeah. God.
Petty Betty loves a good show.
There you go.
What did JC Lynn say? I want to uninvolve myself. I'm getting there.
Oh boy.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right. I felt like the episode actually did kind of work for the most part, seeing the campaigns, this message again, that like Moose is a great campaigner. Summer is a terrible campaigner. In my opinion, like that wasn't real. Like it wasn't that pronounced. It was more so that like Kevin kept having to talk people down. And so he started running with this narrative that like Moose is so good. Just wait until he talks to you. He'll have you believing every word of it. And then he's able to use that after the fact. Like when they're like, oh, he was making some sense. He's like, remember what I said? That's, I knew he was going to get, oh yeah, you're right. I don't know if I can believe him. And then, you know, pitching that like Summer's so bad at this, you know, definitely helped. And it also like, I think is interesting because she's now getting a reputation in the house as being a bad campaigner, which, could help. If you are sitting next to her in the final two, like she has had a good reputation in the house so far as like a good player. But this week I think did do some damage, not only because, you know, she didn't go for that HOH. She went for the half pass. And people were like, what are you doing, Summer? But then like with this sort of new reputation as being a bad campaigner, you know, I don't think that like anybody is actually looking to sit next to Summer in the final two right now, but in the event that they end up sitting next to Summer in the final two, I think that this is something that could help them theoretically, and it could hurt Summer.
Big person to bring down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially as somebody who still hasn't won any competitions as of yet. Okay, let's see. Blue Girl says all the messages just said he was too awesome to make it to the end. They all loved him. Josh did tell him he voted him out because he didn't want to target the showmans or align with the showmans. So it sounds like nothing special here. No, that doesn't sound like Kevin and Helena doing what they need to do in those goodbye messages.
Yeah, they did not really divulge anything from what we're seeing. I did watch the TikTok interview before we hopped on here, And obviously in the episode, we catch Moose saying, you know, if there's something he learned from this game is you got to like look out for yourself over anybody else. And like, you got to prioritize yourself and make sure you're good. He did cite that Josh is the reason he said that. Josh is the reason he feels that, because he said Josh both not voting to keep Herman last week and then voting him out this week. He feels like, you know, Josh didn't have his best interest in mind. And that was more of a wake up call for him that, oh, I could have put Josh's name out there potentially. I could have like thrown that out. So that is the one big game thing that I got out of his exit interview, was that, you know, potentially he didn't. He now feels maybe slightly slighted by Josh. Now, do I personally think that he's lost Moose's vote? Josh has. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But again, we'll have to see what everyone else thinks as they're leaving the house one by one. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I still feel, I mean, if Josh is there, I feel like he still gets those votes. It'll definitely be interesting. Again, I think the big info drop will be when Josh hits that jury house. What kind of information is he going to be able to bring to, you know, this jury that still does not see or respect Kevin and Helena's game at all so far? That'll definitely be interesting. And also, like, this vote itself could have a serious impact on how people are viewing the players in the game. Obviously, Gino being safe changes the sort of like tangible outcome of what happens next week. If it is Kevin, and I'm seeing some people say that that, you know, some of the Marty people could also be going to Helena.
If they're campaigning for Helena.
Yeah, I'm seeing people say that. I'm not seeing it on the Facebook page itself personally, but I'm sure there are other, like, I don't know where to look on Facebook.
Yeah, are you a part of the Marty fan? Someone added me and said, can you join this private Marty fan page?
Oh, that it's the Marty fan page.
Yeah, there's like 2,000. I was like, why would I do? What am I going to infiltrate the fan base and see, like, ooh, what are you doing? Like, come on.
Well, I can tell you on this, you know, the official Big Brother Canada page, you sort by newest. It's Gino, vote for Gino, 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 voted for Gino, voting for Gino. Oh. It seems like Gino is picking up steam.
They're saying here. Marty's wife's Facebook fan, like page, like Marty's wife is saying to go to Helena again.
Mm.
Don't know where that is, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not a lot of Kevin, but I do see some Kevin. Seeing like a couple of Betty. But a lot of Gino. So if it's Gino, that can impact things. If it's Kevin, that could also impact things. Kevin doesn't need it right now, but it could put a target on his back because yeah. All of a sudden, like, wait, why is Kevin getting this? There could be some jealousy involved. There could be a lot of things. On the other hand, though, it could also give him a lot of credit. It could also like be the thing that turns the jury around on Kevin, that like, oh, he's winning fan. He must be doing something right. We like Kevin too, Canada, actually. Yeah, we like Kevin. We're just like you.
We, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Same thing with Helena. It could put a target on Helena's back. It could also be the thing that if Helena wins this, it could give her the edge over Kevin if they go to the final two. If Helena and Kevin go to the end, and Helena's the one that won a fan favorite safety vote, then I think Helena's winning that hands down. Same thing with Kevin. Like, it could be the difference between the two of them in a jury vote. So this has some very serious impact on not only the coming week, but potentially the entire endgame of the season here. Not that you at home have any control over what happens, but theoretically think carefully before you cast your vote.
Yeah. Well, that's the wildest thing, because what time do these votes round? We're not getting feeds till the morning. I think the votes are done at 2 p.m. Eastern.
We're not going to even know who the HOH is.
Most of the votes are going to be out of context. Like, they're going to be without any knowledge of who's the HOH and who's going to be on. So it's a wild ride. We just got to strap in and just watch it happen.
Yeah. I mean, if for all we know, it could go to the second place finisher because the first place person got HOH.
True.
And so now all of a sudden, you know, this game changing outcome thing is given to the second place person. who knows what we're doing here with this vote, but Man, I gotta say, like, I don't want to be a bummer, but it's been blow after blow. I've loved this season. I've been ready to be like, this is my favorite Big Brother season in years and years and years. Like an all timer. But this last week with Buzzkilled breaking down, then this, like, them not showing the hunt for the secret veto on the feeds when that is what they did. The reference that they're referencing had it on the feeds. That was the whole thing of it, was that people loved that it was on the feeds and then they don't have it on the feeds. Now, another endurance competition that's not on the feeds. Another twist, a fan vote at final eight. Jeez. Like, what are we doing? And like, again, I get that, like, it's Marty, but the fact that Marty is ineligible for this is just wild to me. There's just so many weird decisions here. And I just feel like, God, Canada, you were so close. Why are you doing this? There's three more weeks. You're right there.
Right there.
Started very strong, though. We had a very strong pre-jury. At least we'll always have that. We'll always have that, no matter where it goes from here, Terrence. I got to think of the positive. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, this past week has been L's after L's after L's that we've taken. So let's hope there's a swing back. But, you know, you got to try and be positive as best as you can.
It's flashing me back to Big Brother 20 when it was like fire week after fire week. We're like, this is the best season of Big Brother since, you know, like season 14 or something, season 10. And then we just got slammed to a halt with the hacker twist and the buyback. And and I don't want that to be this season.
Agreed.
But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes.
Send help. Somebody.
Somebody, please. all right. Let's see. Who have we not talked about here? Anthony, how do you feel about Helena?
I like Helena. I like Helena. I like the thing for me is there's always enough time to switch up, right? Like, you could be quiet the entire game. People can say whatever the hell they want about you and can view you in any way that they'd like. But within just a few competitions, everything could change. I feel like Helena is strong in could be very, very strong in the mental comps coming up. I feel like she has good relationships with people. And I think she's doing a great job. I think that veto really, really did something for her confidence and for her mentality, right? Like, imagine being told, like, I'm not going to speak on other people, but, you know, I've seen people be told that they're weak or they're floating and just completely break down and have no shot at the rest of the game. You know, having a win like that after hearing that and, you know, possibly even starting to believe that can definitely change the way you look at yourself. You know what I mean? And how you play your game, how you interact with people. So I hope that she does well. I hope that this confidence booster really, you know, launches her into the next couple of weeks and helps her build stronger relationships.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. This vote could definitely again have like an impact here on the game. Man, it really like I what if Betty gets it? What if Betty's safe? What if Betty's safe? And like, what if it's like a situation where what was it? Was it Happy Endings was the show where with the segment where like one of the characters thinks they win the lottery and just immediately they get up like, yes, screw you and screw you. I'm done with all of you. I'm so happy that I never have to see any of you people again. Like, that's going to be Betty. Like,
I do hate you.
I do hate you. Yes.
I like Betty. I like Betty too, man. I like Betty too. I was dying at that clip with Summer because when Summer had originally told her, like, that whole thing with Summer, I was just like, what are you doing? Even if you feel that way, lie. How could you tell this girl that you're on the fence when you know how much she values your relationship in there? And then to even sit on the same couch or the same bed and have a similar, man, I would have made that a lot worse for Summer if I were Betty.
Yeah.
I would have really
Petty Betty loves a good show.
Yeah. I would have really taken that to another level for how you made me feel just the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's funny too, because like you clearly like it, the joke wasn't enough to satisfy her, like her lust for vengeance. She's like she reenacts the thing, and then she's like, ah, but I'm really gonna vote for you. But then later she was like, I do actually want to vote her out though.
Yeah, like that's a huge thing. Imagine like really thinking you're good with somebody and then them telling you, oh, like I don't know, I gotta see what the house says. Right away you're cut immediately. Yeah. Like Mark told me, like in the house, I remember on my season, Mark told me, and they edited it in a way to show that, like, oh, Dane campaigned to me, like, so that he could stay. But as soon as Mark said that, and I realized that A, he's not helping me in the jury house, B, he's not helping, definitely not helping me here. It's like, well, why is he here? When I know that I could literally guilt trip the shit out of Dane to make him, you know, definitely ride for me and take me to final two if need be. I just don't understand like how, and like, but like when you see Summer also her campaign, telling everybody that like, you know, I'm not going to make you any promises here. And you know, maybe in the future we can do something, you know, it's just like, whoa, like, I don't think she's being a little too reserved. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, and nothing's going to grow from that soil because they're not loyal.
Yeah. No loyal in that soil. ain't no loyal in that soil, man.
Oh, boy. Anything else from the episode that we should talk about? I feel like we've covered most of it. Anything else we need to bring up?
I think we got everything. I guess my last question, I think I know the answer to this, Anthony, but who, if you were to induct someone into the Lions, who is the Lion this season for you?
As of right now, like, who's still in the game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, I got to give it to Kevin, man. I got to give it to Kevin. I feel like right off the bat was at a disadvantage because he's different, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like he is like one of those guys that just, he's like a chameleon. I feel like Kevin is the type of guy who could sit down with anybody and to a certain extent have a good time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like he's a watcher. Like there he's behind.
We lost him. Oh. Oh boy. He's a chameleon. He's also a...
I'm actually just going to slither through.
Snake, slithering through. We're working on... Hello. Wait, can't hear you. It doesn't say you're muted, but we can't hear you. Not sure why.
Uh-oh. What's Kevin, though? We got Kevin.
Yeah.
We still can't
hear you. Oh, man. Was this... Did Kevin do this?
I'm a bad boy.
Kevin!
I'm a bad boy.
Come on!
Kevin, you just got one of the biggest compliments you could get from a BB alum. You did this.
I would campaign against my own mother.
But Anthony, really? So I get your own mother, but Anthony, you're going to campaign against Anthony, Kevin?
I'm here. I'm back, baby. No, for me, it's got to be Kevin. I feel like he is really watching people. He's studying people. He's learning their weaknesses. He's learning their strengths. And he, like I said, when I saw him sitting on that couch, I know it might not seem like a lot to you guys, but sitting on the couch with Gino and JC on either side of him with his arm around them, this guy's a G. He understands his position and he's going with it. I think he's a great player, and I think he's playing the hardest. Definitely playing the hardest out of everybody there.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I think also, like, I think it's very cool that I bet that Kevin is absolutely the type of player as well who... like, we'll watch this back when he's out of the game. Yes. And be like, oh my God, Anthony what?
Yeah, he I'm happy for him. He's doing a great job. Honestly, I can't even really see him getting touched in the triple. Like him really getting touched in the triple. Who would be going after him in the triple?
You know, I agree. I don't think anybody as of right now, Kevin should be a lock for at least the final four, if not longer. Granted, this vote again could I could see him leaving the triple if he wins the vote this week. But I could also see if he doesn't win this vote, like that could cost him the whole game. So like, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, as of without the vote, I think he's a lock for the finals.
Pending. Yeah.
He's like going to slither his way through there. Let's see. What if I got any other sound clips here? I still like this one.
I've dealt with some definitely squirmy babies.
Some squirmy babies. Josh has dealt with.
You haven't played them? There's more? How many more you got, Taryn?
Oh, I've got tons.
You told me I was a terrible person.
Yeah, and I meant that.
Oh, it's so funny to me that Kevin and Betty are just like friends now.
I mean, they come a long way. They had a journey. They had a journey together. They have experiences. Now here they are.
Betty. All right. So I think that's about what we've got. We've speculated on the HOH competition. We've speculated on this vote. We've talked through the episode. Any other thoughts you have on the season so far, Anthony?
Not so much. Just know that I'm watching. I'm excited. I love this kind of stuff. And when it gets down to the wire, that's when the real deception, the real players, start to show their cards. And I think the next 3 weeks is going to be really good, man. I'm really, really looking forward to it and seeing these guys at alumni weekend. So, yeah, man, good season so far. But I feel like now is when things are going to start getting juicy.
Mm, yes. All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight, then. Thank you all so much for joining us on this eviction night recap. I will be live tomorrow morning with Puya at 11 a.m. Eastern. To talk through maybe nothing. Maybe we'll see a little bit in the morning. Who knows? Not entirely sure. We might be able to update you on the HOH tomorrow morning. We might not.
Yeah. Or we just take a couple sips of coffee, say hi, and then go about our day. Like truly, that's where we are at this point.
But you can tune in tomorrow to see what we have to say. And then my exit interview with Moose will be delayed until I think Tuesday.
Makes sense.
So the holidays. So you can look out for the Moose interview later over on Tuesday. And then in the meantime, just keep watching the updates, and we will of course be covering Monday night's episode. I'll be live on Twitch watching the episode with all of you, and also be live doing all sorts of things over on Twitch. Go over there and check it out. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Armstrong Taryn. You can check out the Taryn Show with Gabby this week. You can also go back and listen to the Taryn Show with my man, Anthony Douglas here. We had a good time, talking through the new year at the time and, the plan for the year, which he's already executing on.
Yes, sir.
Excellently.
Yes, sir.
So make sure you check out the Taryn Show with Anthony. Anthony, where can people find you?
You know, you can find me at Dougielicious. Type it in your Google bar. You know, you might see a couple model pics. You know, maybe some selfies, or you might just see me on the, greatest players of all time. But definitely hit me up. I love coming on the Taryn Armstrong Show. Puya, this is my first my first podcast on with you.
A pleasure, man. Happy to get to be on with you.
I've definitely seen you on a couple podcasts too, so it's good to catch up with you guys.
Thanks, man.
And Taryn, you already know, man. Anytime you ask, I'm here, bro. A lot of love for you, bro. And I'm here to give back to the culture. So, thanks for having me. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. And we're gonna keep it moving.
Thank you, Anthony. Puya, what have you got going on?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. Find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. We will be doing our Goose Goose Duck Lobby 5 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. 90 Day Fiance, Rob has left the podcasting co-host spot, but I will be back with the new season starting this week. I already booked the first 8 weeks, so I'm covered you there easily. And then Masked Singer with Liana Boris, of course, still going on. We have 4 more episodes before the season's done. We talk about this last episode this weekend, so check that out. And that's all I've got for you until tomorrow morning when I give you a whole lot of nothing with a lot of smiles.
There you go. Thank you all again for joining us. Thank you again to Anthony for being here. Always such a pleasure to get your thoughts and to chat with you, Anthony. Aman showing up in the chat, disappointed he didn't get to chat with you, but we'll make it happen someday, Aman. But thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.